Dear Heavenly Father, I just come to you this morning as we always do. Lord, first to tell you how we worship you and how we adore you and how blessed we are that you love us. Lord, for each of us, I pray that you would speak to us this morning, that you would help us to be people who seek after you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. Lord, I pray that you'd give us clarity. Lord, for those this morning who are here, who have struggles, I pray that you would speak to each one of them, that you would send your Holy Spirit, which is beyond what we can imagine or understand, but Lord, we trust because that's what the Scriptures tell us. Lord, I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to give peace or to give conviction or to give encouragement. And dear Lord, I just pray that for each of us, as we go through life, that you'd help us to be more receptive to you in our lives, to recognize your voice in a greater way, to help us determine the steps and the direction that you have for each of us. Lord, I pray that would be the case this morning as I preach your word, that you would speak to each person here to know that you brought them here for a purpose, not just for something to do on Sunday morning, but because you have a word for each of us. Lord, I thank you for the things that have been done this morning. I pray that they would honor you, and I pray that would be the case as we go through our Bible teaching, preaching time. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you got your Bible this morning, you'll want to go ahead and open it up. We're going to be in Luke chapter 22. We'll be at verse 47, if you want to go ahead and turn there, we'll be there in just a minute. I had a couple things I brought with me this morning. I forgot to bring them up. One of the things that I've told you about me, of the gifts that God has given me, or not really gifts, I guess talents, I would say. We sometimes confuse our gifts and our talents. Talents are things that God just gave us ability to do, and spiritual gifts are things that God gives us supernaturally when we confess Him as our Savior. But one of the things for me that I am not good at, I've told you before, I brought some tools with me this morning, and I'm kind of one of those guys, now I've told you before, that's really not what I'm good at. I'm not the fixer-upper guy at my house. I promise when something breaks or when something goes wrong, Christy's first thought is not call Randy. As a matter of fact, if I'm aware of it, her first thought is tell Randy don't do anything with all those tools he has in the garage. Just leave it alone and let me get somebody here. But there are a few things that I can fix. There are a few things I can work on. And I keep some tools at the office all the time for different things I need. This is kind of my go-to right here. This is a set of screwdrivers, and you can put them in the little handle, and it has all different ones, and I'll talk about those in a second. Obviously, we know pliers. Those are essential. If you grew up in the country like I did, you always needed pliers for different things, whether it was cutting wires on the hay bales or fixing fence or whatever. Those were just a key to everything we do. A tape measure, you understand, but now here's for me, this is really what you got to know. I'm one of those guys, if you can't fix it, use a hammer. And if you can't fix it with this hammer, then you just need a bigger hammer. I'm kind of wired that way. Now, the hard part is sometimes my frustration gets the best of me when I begin to work on things. One of the reasons that I think these are maybe my favorites as well is how many of you ever used a screwdriver for something other than to drive in a screw? You use it to pry with. We all have, okay? But the truth is, we know this, probably most of you, I was thinking about it this week, I remember a few times where I've used a screwdriver to try to pry something off, and if it ever comes loose, it's amazing how much force there is when you're trying to pry something with the wrong tool. I've poked myself in the leg a few times or poked myself in the hands a few times, and it's amazing at the things that you do that if you have the right tools. Have you ever been working on something that you knew what you needed to do, and you knew that there was a special tool made for that, but you just didn't have that tool, so you were trying to use the tools that you have? that if you just had the right tool, it makes so much difference to you in what you do. I think it's that way for us as Christ followers. God gives us certain tools. There are certain things. Sometimes it's a tool. Sometimes it's a guideline. Sometimes it's a direction. Sometimes it's a you should do this. Sometimes it's a you should not do this. And sometimes it's not even like an abstract tool. It's something like, as we talked about this morning, maybe it's love. Or maybe it's grace. And so I want us to read a story this morning a little bit about tools that God has given us to help complete tasks. If you would with me in the scriptures this morning, we pick it up in Luke chapter 22, verse 47. It says, while Jesus was still speaking, suddenly a mob was there. This is while Jesus was in the garden. And it says, and one of the 12 named Judas was leading them. He came near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When those around him saw what was going on, they asked, Lord, should we strike with a sword? Then one of them struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. But Jesus responded, no more of this. And touching his ear, he healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the temple police, and the elders who had come for him, have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a criminal? Every day while I was with you in the temple complex, you never laid a hand on me, but this is your hour and the dominion of darkness. When I think about the tools, I think there's a great story here, and we all know the story of Peter where he uses his sword, but I think for us there's some principles here that God gives us to be able to make our way through life, to travel the road, to walk the journey that God has given for each one of us. The first thing I would say is that it's important that you choose your tool wisely. We get to see in verses 47 to 49, Judas picks his tool. Not the tool that we would typically think that you would choose for betrayal. And even Jesus says, are you really going to betray me with a kiss? Because we normally think of a kiss as something that betroths us to somebody as opposed to betrays somebody. But for us, sometimes we have a tendency to use the wrong tool to try to accomplish the right task. It's not to say that it can't be done, but it sure makes it a lot more difficult. Peter used a sword. They say, hey, did you want us to use a sword? And by that point, as you know, with Peter, he was impulsive. It was already too late to ask that question. Peter was already looking for the answers. But Peter uses the wrong tool as well. Because Jesus, if you think about it, we just studied over the last several weeks about the temptations of Jesus. Jesus used a sword when he was tempted, did he not? Yeah. We all know that Jesus used a sword. It's just that he didn't use this kind of sword. He used this kind of sword. In every one of the areas where Jesus was tempted, what he responded with was not anger or with frustration or with sarcasm, but in every instance he responded with love and he responded with the Word of God. The sword. For us, we have a tendency sometimes to take the swords maybe that we've developed ourselves or sometimes maybe that culture has developed in us as opposed to the ones that God has given us. But Peter let his emotion lead him into action and he takes the wrong sword and does the wrong thing. Now Jesus straightens it out and Jesus fixes it, but one of the things that I've said to you before, for all of us, we got to be careful that we don't act our way to a feeling, but that we feel our way to an action. You see, the truth is right here, Peter takes the wrong tool because he gets driven by another wrong tool, his emotions. And if we're not careful, when we let our emotions become a tool, most of the time, we'll do the wrong job. For us, we got to be people that use the right tools. And one of the things that we need to use in our toolbox is the ability for peace and the ability for calm and the ability for understanding and the ability for grace so that we are not driven by our emotions. The truth is, for each of us, there's multiple tools. There's all kinds of tools. For a guy even like me that's not real good to fix things with my hands and to figure out how they work and to put them, take them apart. I'm one of those guys when I take them apart and get it put back together, I always have pieces. But even though I have all the tools in my garage, multiple tools that can be used for multiple situations. When I think about us in life, we have multiple tools that can be used in multiple situations, but I want you to know this, in every situation, whatever tool you use, there are only two options. Either you use that tool to glorify God, or you use that tool to give credit to Satan. That's the only two options in every situation. For us, when we set out with tools, we want to fix stuff. We want to make it better. In life, we either can glorify God or we can give credit to Satan. When we work with tools, we either fix it or we don't fix it. We either make it better or we make it worse. It's the same way for us with the tools that we have in life. We either make it better or we make it worse. Not only would I say choose your tool wisely, but I would say this, watch where you stand. Look at verse 50. It says, then one of them struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. Now, this story is in all four of the Gospels. Three of the Gospels say somebody. The reason that we know it was Peter is because the Gospel writer John tells us it was Peter. I think it's interesting that three of the Gospel writers just say somebody cut off his ear. And John says, Peter. It was Peter. When I think about the idea of Peter taking something and cutting off the guy's ear, to take a sword and cut off the guy's ear, I would say to each of us, watch where you stand. We often don't think about this, but it's really key. One of the great tools that God gives all of us in life is the people in our lives. It's really important that we understand the people that God places in our life and the people that we should put a fence around in our lives. I used to tell my students, we're going to be friends with everybody, but we're going to be picky who our buddies are. I think for us as Christ followers, we should be friends with everybody in town. But we're going to be picky about who we let close. We're going to be picky about who we let speak into our lives. The reason that that's so important is because you got to watch where you stand, because not only does your proximity a lot of times reveal your position, you know where you stand. And in our world, it's a negative, but for us, where you stand on which side of the aisle you are, there is no middle road anymore, it seems like. But it's important not only where you stand because of the people, but you got to know that their aim could be off. I've always been a guy that I've told people, hey, I don't think Peter was aiming for his ear. I think Peter was probably aiming for his head. But I read something this week that was really interesting to me. I think that's true, that the guy, the servant, his name was Malchus. We read in another one of the descriptions in the scriptures that his ear was cut off. But I don't think Peter was aiming for his ear. I've always said I think he was aiming for his head to make him a foot shorter right off the top. But the truth is, the problem that Malchus had was he was standing by the high priest. And I don't know this about Peter, but just the other things I read about Peter, I bet Peter wasn't aiming for Malchus at all. I bet Peter was aiming for the high priest. And for us, sometimes in the tools that God puts in our lives, if we're not careful, we will use the wrong tools. We'll stand with the wrong group of people. And if we're not careful, we'll end up getting our ears lopped off because we didn't choose wisely one of the tools God gives us. And yet on the other side, if we do choose wisely and we spend time with people who are seeking after God and who want to be who Jesus wants them to be, that they have a passion to be that all God created them for, those people can't help but be a benefit to us. The good news is the bad news is that Peter messed up, but the good news is that Jesus fixed it again for Peter. Now, I'm going to tell you, I think you're probably like me. I'm glad that at the times when I stand with the wrong people, and at times over life when I've been on the wrong side, that Jesus fixes it. When we seek Him out, isn't it great to know that Jesus fixes the things we mess up? I think that's huge for each of us. That's encouraging to me. So what was it you think that led Peter to do this? Why is it that Peter would just pull out his sword and try to cut somebody's head off, or at worst, at least try to cut their ear off? I think that impulsive personality certainly that God had given him. Now you might say, hey, that's bad. Certainly here Peter let his emotions drive him. But do you think it was Peter's emotions that drove him when he was standing in the boat and Jesus was walking on the water? And Peter said to Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come to you. I'm going to tell you, guys that pull out their sword and hack ears off are pretty impulsive. That's not necessarily bad. You just got to be careful. You see, that impulsiveness that God gave to Peter that caused him to cut the guy's ear off is the same one that when he said, Jesus, tell me to come to you, if that's you, that he just jumped out there. Because Peter was not this guy to dip his foot in the water and check, hey, what's it like? That's not Peter. He was not that guy. It's that impulsiveness that made a difference. I want you to know the tools that God gave you, they can be good, but they can be bad. The key is to be so in tune that we get it right. Physically, we can be where we're supposed to be. And I think Peter was. But spiritually, he wasn't even close. You see, if you look back in verses 20 or chapter 22, if you look back over in verse 33, I want you to see this real fast. Chapter 22 of Luke, verse 33, he says, Lord, this is Peter. Lord, Peter told him, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Look at verse 45. It says, when Jesus got up from the prayer and came to the disciples, Jesus found them sleeping and exhausted in their grief. Do you remember what they were supposed to be doing? They were in the garden. They were supposed to be praying. Look at verse 50 in chapter 22. It says, then one of them struck the high priest's slave and cut off his ear. It's interesting, in verse 33, Peter was talking instead of listening. He was telling Jesus how great he was and what he was willing to do without listening to what Jesus said. In verse 45, Peter was sleeping when he was supposed to be praying. It's interesting, but if you look back up in the verse, it says, when he got up from prayer and came to the disciples, he found them sleeping and exhausted with their grief. Verse 46, why are you sleeping, Jesus asked them. Get up and pray, listen to this, so that you won't enter into temptation. I wonder if Peter had been praying instead of sleeping, if he'd have still cut the guy's ear off. I wonder if that was his temptation to act impulsively. And Jesus said, hey, if you'd have been praying, I was hoping that you'd be praying so that you wouldn't enter into temptation. For us to stay close, not only in proximity to Jesus, but some people we need to stay close to and some people we got to fence off. Watch where you stand. Choose your tool wisely. And the last one, tool selection just screams the expectations. Look at verse 52. It says, then Jesus said to the chief priests, the temple police, and the elders who had come for him, have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a criminal? Why would they bring swords and clubs to get Jesus? As I think about it, I can only think of two possibilities. Either they were expecting a fight, and they thought, we're bringing swords and we're bringing clubs because if his disciples all act like Peter, this could get ugly. But we would read the scriptures and go, there was no way that Jesus was going to fight. It wasn't going to be a fight. Jesus wasn't wired that way, right? The only other reason that I could think they brought swords and clubs is because as they walked from wherever they were at the synagogue out to where the garden was, as they passed through town, they just wanted people to see that they were on a mission for something. They just wanted to call attention to themselves. Some of you are wired in such a way that you will do anything and everything to avoid the spotlight. Some of you are wired in a way that you will do anything and everything to get in the spotlight. What's funny is neither one of those groups understand the other one. But for us, our tool selection is so important because it screams what our expectation is. It's interesting that Jesus, on several occasions, had said to his disciples and to others, my time has not yet come. It is not my hour. We know that means Jesus is saying, hey, it's just got to play out a certain way. But it's interesting that Jesus then says to them, every day while I was with you in the temple complex, you never laid a hand on me, but this is your hour and the dominion of darkness. It's interesting that Jesus says to them, when you decided that the spotlight needed to be on you instead of on me, you need to know that where the credit goes is to the dominion of darkness. For us, when we get to wanting our own way, and some of you would say, hey, I don't ever want the spotlight. No, you don't, but you do want to do it your way. You do want to do it on your schedule, in your time. That's kind of like wanting the spotlight on you as opposed to God. And in every situation, it's either His glory or the devil's. It's interesting when I think of those tools. In Ephesians chapter 6, listen to this. It says, finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by His vast strength. By the way, that is our best tool. Our number one tool is His strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you may stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heaven. This is why you must take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having prepared everything, take your stand. Stand therefore, listen to this, with the truth. By the way, is that an abstract tool? Yeah. It's not a concrete tool. It's truth. The truth around, like a belt around your waist. Righteousness. Is that abstract or concrete? It's abstract again, isn't it? And your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take the shield of faith. And with it, you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. That's concrete. Take the helmet of salvation, concrete, and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with every prayer and request, and stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Pray also for me that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known the boldness of the mystery for the gospel. God gives us a tool chest right there. It's a belt. It's a breastplate. It's a helmet. It's feet that are shod. Some of the things He gives us are abstract. Truth. Readiness. And some of them are concrete. Shields. And swords. I want you to know this. To be who God wants you to be will require all of them. But don't miss what I said was our best one. Our best strength, our best tool is His strength. All of us have a tendency to want to fix it with our own strength. Surrender is really the key. Give it to Him. No matter how big, no matter how grandiose, no matter how bad it may be, or no matter how small, God wants us to trust Him with all of it. Your life, what problems are you trying to fix? For some of you, are you trying to fix your way to heaven? I want you to know you can't. You just got to rely on Jesus. That's the only way any of us are getting there. For some of you, you're trying to fix your relationships. For some of you, you're trying to fix people in your life or your job situation. And I want you to know, God gives you the tools, but you got to start with His strength. My invitation to you this morning is, would you surrender? Whatever the problem is in your life, would you surrender it? Would you give it to Him? Would you let Him help you fix it? With His strength, in His way, according to His time. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for the lesson that we get. Even from when You were arrested in the garden. How You handled things versus how others handled things. The tools that You used. That You stood in the strength that God had given You. Lord, I just pray that for us this morning. I pray that for me. And the things that I'm going through in life, I pray that You give me strength. I pray that You would let Your strength be manifested in me and in my actions. Lord, I pray that for each of us this morning. Lord, I pray for those out there that are trying to fix it on their own, that this morning they would be willing to just lay it at your feet and say, Lord, you fix it. I trust you. I pray you give them the strength for that and the trust for that. And I pray these things in Jesus' name.